Chris Lander here with a look at the College Football Notebook as we take a look at NCAA recruiting pay-for-play finally here. Federal judge blocks the NCAA from enforcing NIL rules. And what is the NIL? How has it changed college sports? We're heavy into the recent rulings that are affecting college football, college athletics as a whole. That's what we're going to get into today. A reminder, you can get into it even in more detail at LandryFootball.com, breaking down the world of college football and the NFL from a coaching, scouting, and front office perspective is what we do at LandryFootball.com. Check it out today. Take advantage of the scouting season offer. It's the best deal that we've got going. LandryFootball.com. Also, a reminder to subscribe, like, and share the Landry Football Podcast Network on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. So, federal judge in Tennessee on Friday granted a preliminary injunction that prohibits the NCAA from enforcing its own rules against pay-for-play and recruiting. Effective immediately, name, image, and likeness collectives can negotiate deals with recruits without fear of NCAA sanctions. So let me get this, you know, paint this picture to you. NIL was designed in the naivete or the stupidity of the concept of, well, it's only for guys that get on campus and they can find their own deals. Well, if you think in the world of college football, college athletics, where players have been paid underneath the table for years, have been given quote-unquote jobs where they get paid for not even showing up, if you think, if anybody thinks for a second that now having the NIL in your toolbox to use as a way to funnel players' money in recruiting to get them to come to your school, and you think that's not going to happen, again, you're either naive or you really are not very bright, at least the way it comes to college athletics. So if you go back over the history, there's always been the talk of the sugar daddies and the doing things behind the scenes. The NIL has allowed things to happen in a legal manner to funnel money to players in recruiting to entice them to come. Even though they have said, the NCAA, that you can't do that. They can only do it themselves when they get on campus. Well, this ruling says that the NCAA cannot enforce any of their own rules. That's how it's gotten. That's far it's gotten. Now, the federal judge blocks the NCAA from enforcing the rules. The court losses have been coming so fast and furious recently that let's take a moment to stop and reflect on how seminal some of these decisions are. Until 2021, an athlete could lose eligibility if someone so much as bought them a hamburger. Today, thanks to a crush of states passing laws forcing the NCAA to allow NCAA payments, you can see an athlete appear in a State Farm commercial and no one bats an eye. It's okay. It's normal. And if it's a superstar player, you get it. But we're seeing now millions of dollars coming to a student athlete that hadn't done anything in college. They're in high school and being enticed to come to their school, and it's a way to funnel money. For decades, it was just accepted that players have to sit out a year if they transfer to a new school. In this past December, a judge in West Virginia issued an injunction allowing athletes to transfer and play immediately as many times as they want to. And now, one of the bedrock principles of college athletics for the entirety of its existence, no giving money to recruits, has gone up in smokes in a span of 3 weeks. On January 30th, Tennessee Chancellor Don D. Plowman wrote a scathing letter to the NCAA President Charlie Baker, ripping the organization for attempting to sanction the school over recruitment of a five-star quarterback, Nico Iamaliva, for entering into a lucrative NIL deal with Tennessee's collective, which is called Spire Sports. The argument itself that the NCAA hadn't explicitly said booster collectives can't be involved in recruiting was laughable, but it presented the perfect opportunity for someone to challenge the underlying rule. Sure enough, the attorneys General of Tennessee and Virginia swiftly filed a federal lawsuit contending that the NCAA's NIL restrictions violate antitrust law. Now, there was Corker denied that the plaintiff's temporarily restraining order, but Friday he issued a preliminary injunction that carries the same effect. And it reads, this is the legal reading, effective immediately, the NCAA is restrained and enjoined from enforcing the NCAA interim NIL policy, the NCAA bylaws, or any other any order authority to extent such authorities prohibit student athletes from negotiating compensation for NIL with any third-party entity, including but not limited to boosters or collective of boosters, until a full and final decision on the merits of the instant action. The NCAA can and still take the case to trial and hope to restore its previous policies. But in both the temporary restraining order and injunction decisions, it's been ruled that the plaintiffs have demonstrated a likelihood of success in their Sherman Act claim. It would be wise to save the millions of dollars in billable hours on another losing defense. It's not going to work. Over the past 3 years, coaches and administrators have taken to calling the emergent impact of NIL is calling it a Wild Wild West. Another popular line, this is not how the NIL was intended. Again, how naive or how stupid can you be? They and the segment of the public that feels similar will presumably view the ruling as a nightmare and inevitable. The NCAA had no choice in 2021 but to finally embrace NIL because politicians known for widely differing opinions across numerous states had united around the cause. But it tried to do it with one foot in, one foot out. Okay, you guys are allowed to make money, but we can still tell you who you are and who you are not allowed to see said money from. It was the next antitrust suit waiting to happen, and the Tennessee case prompted someone to give it a shot. Meanwhile, even without legal intervention, the NCAA had long ago lost the battle against collective. Whether its investigators ultimately got the goods on Tennessee, nearly every other major sports school now has operations making their own NIL deals with current and prospective recruits while pretending it wasn't pay for play. So it is a problem that has come down the pipe. And it is day of a reckoning, so to speak. And everyone is critical of the NCAA, and rightly so, on how they have stuck their head in the sand since the 1970s on how to properly administrate. One had to know, and this is, you know, proof in any form of business, which is this big business, that whoever gets the upper hand will usually make you pay. And instead of doing things the right way in the 70s and the 80s, the NCAA drug its feet. And now the Pandora's box is open. And this is going to make out about complete change, complete reform. But understand this. We're going to need to have, whether it's the NCAA or some other unifying governing body, we've got to have some rules. Because right now, anybody can do anything they want legally, illegally. The NCAA has no power to do anything. And there's no school is going to cooperate with the NCAA because there's nothing the NCAA can do because the courts have said it. So for the people that criticize the NCAA, yeah, I get the criticism. But, you know, it's funny how things work. Folks think it's great when their school can get away with doing something. But God forbid their rival school cheats, and that is all. You know how that goes. Your kid writes graffiti on the wall of the school. They're just boys will be boys. The neighbor kid does it. Hey, punish them, expel them. You know, it's the way of the world. But without a governing body, we got a problem. It is fine for players to have the ability to make money through name, image, and likeness. But to have that put in without guardrails, guidelines, what you can do, can't do, and enforcement capabilities, it is just complete chaos. What is the NIL? How has it changed college sports? And why are schools under investigation? Well, that archaic model isn't completely dead yet. The ruling by Judge Corker is an injunction, not a final decision. and other ongoing legal cases addressing whether athletes should be considered employees are entitled to a cut of TV revenue or years from being decided. But even the most ardent advocate traditional NCAA amateurism person would surely concede that this party's over. Charlie Baker, the NCAA president himself, has already proposed sweeping changes that would allow schools to directly compensate athletes. Somewhat sadly, though, we're not likely to ever see college athletics like it would, whatever was and what it was meant to be long ago. We are going down the path of a college football players association, a collective bargaining agreement where schools are going to be able to pay players, and it's going to have differing effects. It's going to maybe allow contracts with players, which maybe that will force players to participate in bowl games and whatnot to collect their money. They will obviously have to have some sort of guardrails and maybe limitations, maybe a salary cap of sorts. They may not call it that, whatever. Those are all things that need to be looked at and studied, but it is changing. It is changing quickly. Now, what is the effect? If there's going to be so much money put into football and maybe a little bit in basketball, is there going to be money left over to operate the gymnastics, the tennis team, etc.? Remember, those sports benefit from the monies that come in and generated by football. If that money generated by football going forward, and to some degree men's basketball, if that money is put in strictly towards football, then what's going to happen to the other sports? In essence, it may be club sports, and it may be difficult to fund them because none of those sports make money. And so those of you that are fans of women's basketball or volleyball or any other sports out there, the future could be affected greatly. A lot needs to be decided, but there's no question that a lot has changed. Reminder, you can get more details at LandryFootball.com, the latest on college football, NFL, analysis, breakdowns, inside information. We got you covered. LandryFootball.com. Take advantage of our scouting season offer today. A reminder to subscribe, like, and share for free the Landry Football Podcast Network on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.